Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I'm very, very excited, Addy, because finally, WeTalkWrestling.com has launched.
Yes.
There, everybody's going to be able to go and get archives of our show.
Finally.
We have blogs, emails. We'll have some future exclusive content coming up on there, and perhaps it'll become part of a expanding We Talk podcast universe. Is
like
the plan
testicles.
If we can ever do it? Yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm seeing on here. We could go in and read some of the blogs right now. It's a nice setup. The tech guys have done a great job. I'm noticing they added in something I didn't know here about the host. I'm just clicking in there.
Oh, that's new. Yeah.
Yeah. Addy, I guess you did it this morning, or somebody did it this morning. Yeah, they did it this morning.
Oh, you haven't
before
seen
the show.
This yet.
No, Addy is about the host. Addy is a lifelong wrestling fan of over 25 years.
True.
She shares a birthday with Owen Hart, which helped to make Owen and Randy Savage his favorite all-time wrestlers. Mm-hmm. While he grew up with WWF and Stampede wrestling in the 1980s and beyond, he has a strong appreciation for NWA / WCW, ECW, Lucha Libre, and Japanese wrestling.
All true.
you can drop Addy a line at addy@wetalkwrestling.com. He'd love to hear from you. That's awesome. And let's see what they said, wrote about me. Mo is fat.
Also true.
Who the fuck wrote this?
I thought you did.
You did, didn't you?
I may have.
I hate you. A lot.
A lot.
Seriously, that is what is actually on under We Talk Wrestling
about the host.
That's that. What? If you go there, that's what you guys are going to see. So
I thought the people needed to know.
What a douchebag!
Well, I just thought the people need to know the pertinent information. I do have a birthday with Owen Hart, and I do have a strong appreciation for all forms of wrestling. And you're fat.
That's not fat. That's a wheat belly.
That's
not that fat. It's a wheat belly.
A wheat belly. Yeah.
That's all that is.
All right.
It's not,
well,
not that fat.
Let's move on.
That's a wheat
and
belly.
Let's talk. Did anything happen on Monday Night Raw?
Anything that people may have had interest in. Sin Cara took on Evan Bourne in a hell of a match.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was a great 8 minutes. That was, I believe that went about 8 minutes, which is the same time as that Jay Lethal match in ROH last week. And I was pretty much the exact same time. And I'm like, that's what I wanted to see out of Lethal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's, you know, finally the match that I've been waiting to see out of Sin Cara, right?
Exactly.
That she just hasn't had that televised match yet. So
no.
That was tremendous. I texted you because you were working, and we in Canada here we get the Raw replay. We get a couple of replays, actually, but one, it basically comes right after another Raw.
So then generally, Addy can tell me whether or not it's worth watching.
Yes. So I text Mo and I tell him, you know, you got to fucking see this. You got to see the show because of Sin Cara, Evan Bourne. And then Mark Henry does the beatdown of the Big Show.
Yeah, we should get to Mark Henry as a topic a little later.
Yeah, but then I text you again saying, okay, well, now you definitely got to see the show. Because you want to be able to you want to see both of these things now. So there's two things to watch, and then the bomb was dropped.
Yeah, the bomb was dropped. And what an awesome promo! I was talking about CM Punk. He came out during the main event, R-Truth, the John Cena tables match, and say he stole the show is not giving him enough praise.
I was actually talking about Sean super kicking Drew McIntyre. But yes, we can
talk
about CM
Punk. Yeah,
that's
something else to talk about. But
we can talk about CM Punk too. So Punk comes
out. Yeah, no, let's trunk. Fuck it.
But talking about CM Punk, I mean, Punk comes out there during the R-Truth John Cena tables match, and he. You know, and he interferes and
basically distracts
R-Truth.
Cena and
leaves
the Truth
winning. Allows R-Truth to put Cena through the table, get the win.
Cena sells the hell out of the table thing, right? He stays down for a long time, allowing Truth to go on to his rant.
You mean Punk?
Punk.
And I do like I liked that. I also liked the fact that it was another tables match that John Cena didn't win. That was actually my first thought before the promo even came. It was another tables match that John Cena didn't win.
Actually, that's a good point.
And so that I thought was good. But getting to the promo, I mean, he sits down.
Of course, they don't know that. You realize that. As you say, that's another...
No, I know. He didn't.
I mean, you go, okay, that could be a comic gimmick, and that's how people beat him and finally win the championship, and that's his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
You know that, and you could use that if you were booking.
Right. But they don't
know that.
No. But that is something, though, that I do think that eventually somebody is going to figure out.
Well, maybe somebody listens to us.
A little bit. Well, but they're going to... Yeah, maybe. But they'll figure it out maybe too late. But they will figure it out. But... you know, the great part about this promo, and we'll talk about it sort of in an overall sense first, is
that... Kind of break down exactly what happened here.
Well, I don't break down what happened. I'm just going to do an overview here first, is that Punk sits up at the ramp and goes on for about 7 minutes. And the nice part about this is that it reminded me a lot of Paul Heyman meeting Vince McMahon on SmackDown, the go-home show for the Survivor Series, where it was the Alliance against the WWF, because it went through and it went back and forth between quote-unquote work and quote-unquote shoot.
Well, yeah.
So beautifully that it was a, if you want to call it a shoot promo, it's a shoot promo that was designed to draw money.
Which is what all shoot promos should do if they're actually broadcast in a national company.
Vince Russo, you douche.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there because that's part of the topic.
Yes. But, you know, when he comes out
and says... And Hogan, too, frankly.
Right. Yes. You know. But when he comes out and he says, you know, I don't hate you, John. You know, I there's a lot more people in the back that I hate more than you. I just hate the idea that of people thinking that you're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... you know, because I'm the best. And then he drops the word wrestler.
Yes.
He says, I'm the best wrestler.
Yes.
And, you know, he just said, you know, and then he talks about how you're good at kissing Vince's ass. You know, you're as good as Hogan, or you're better than Hogan at kissing his ass. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne.
That's right, yeah.
And then that's when he said, oh, I'm breaking down the fourth wall, and he waves at the camera, right? And, you know.
Yeah.
But he talks about, you know, how he's the best wrestler, and then he's been, you know, he's grabbed so many of Vince McMahon's, you know, fictional brass rings, you know, and he had to go through so much because he was a Paul Heyman guy. And then he says, you know, who else was a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar.
Who?
Yeah. And he left... Just like I'm going to leave. So, boom, bring it back, right?
Yeah.
You know, so he's dropping these names, but then he's bringing it back to the storyline, which was
beautiful. Should say, he's at the top of the ramp. You said that. He's sitting cross-legged. He's not being animated. He's not walking back and forth.
Well, that's his thing, though.
But you know what? The thing is, that takes a lot of confidence to be able to do.
Well,
that's not, I mean, it's easier to go out there and be animated. It's easier to go out there and try and engage the audience when you're running back and forth and you're actually talking to them, try and get them to chant what or whatever. But he is so good and so confident, so charismatic and so everything in control of the moment that he can sit still and believes he can engage an arena of 14,000 people and a viewing audience at home. Please go on with what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, there is that. But I mean, that's, I look at it like I didn't really notice, because that's his gimmick.
That's his gimmick. Like I say,
because
he's good, he can do that.
Oh, definitely. He's the best wrestler, right?
And the best promo. He talks about that, too.
Well, and then, yes, he talks about how he's, you know, the best promo. He says he's the best on the mic, he's the best in the ring, and then he says, hell, I went on commentary and I was better than any of those guys, too, or I was the best on that, right?
Sure.
Which, again, is true. Now, at this point, he's getting cheered.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is, and I, you know, because he's saying, partially because what he's saying is true, partially because I think the people in Vegas knew that they were a part of something there, that this isn't something we see every day, so they're cheering that as well. But then he talks about, you know, how many times he proves it. He's not on the collector's cups. He's not on the programs. He's barely promoted. You know, he doesn't get to be in movies, on any shows on USA. He's not on the poster USA. Hell, he's not even...
No, it wasn't just he doesn't get to do the talk shows, but he said not just that he didn't say he doesn't get to be on the shows on USA. It was any of, I believe he called them crappy shows or awful, something like that.
I think he said this crappy network.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I'm not on any crappy show on the USA network.
Yeah.
You know, is the way he put it. But, you know, he's not even on the signature of the show. Right?
Yeah.
He's not even in the opening of the show. He's, you know, so... And he says that, you know, it's not sour grapes. He says, but he does say that...
That's Matt Hardy. But those grapes aren't sour. No, he loves them.
He loves his grapes. And he loves Matt Hardy, too. But, you know, and then he talks about how it makes him sick that, you know, the main event of WrestleMania involves The Rock, involves Dwayne, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, so again, he's getting cheered at this point. And then he goes, well, no, don't you cheer me. He says, you people are the reason that I'm leaving. Because it's you people that buy the collectible cups, that buy the, you know, the program that I'm not on, and then shove it in my face at 5 a.m. at an airport to try to get my autograph.
Yeah.
You know. So he turns it right back around to get booed, because he's got the crowd in the palm of his hand, and he's getting booed, and again, he's going back to Workboat.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's bringing this right back out. So, and then, meanwhile, again, you're working, and I'm frantically, I can't text fast enough to tell you all the shit that he's saying. Going,
yeah,
he dropped Rock, he dropped Heyman's name, he said wrestler, you know, and blah, 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 I'm going on about Dwayne, da, da, da. And then he goes, you know, I'm leaving with the championship, and who knows, maybe I'll go to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
He goes, maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. And then he looks at the camera and says, how you doing, Colt Cabana?
That
so I'm going,
awesome.
He's dropping Ring of Honor, he's dropping Colt Cabana. back, I'm like, holy shit.
And meanwhile, folks, as Adam is Addy's sitting here doing this, he literally is typing on his desk like he's texting to
yes,
me.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like this is like we have a webcam going.
Yes.
And like he texts off his desk on an actual virtual full-size keyboard.
Indeed.
It's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm great. and then he talks about, you know, that you guys are going to keep buying tickets. This, you know, when I'm gone, you know, I'm just a cog in the wheel, and that...
He's not doing it now.
No.
Now that I brought it up.
So it's a cog in the wheel. Well, I'm not texting right now, but I'm just a cog in the wheel. This is, you know, you guys will continue. Vince will continue to make money. And, you know, and then he says, you know, but Vince is a millionaire who should be a billionaire. And you know why he's not a billionaire? And then he goes on about how it's because he surrounds himself with ass kissers. And then he talks about...
like Johnny Ass.
Well, yes. And then and apparently this got beeped pretty well in the States. In Canada here, our beeper was asleep at the wheel here, so we actually got the word douchebag.
Ooh, offensive.
When he says douchebag John Laurinaitis.
Can you do me a favor and not use that word again? Because I might have to leave.
I know.
So offensive.
I know.
I never hear it on the radio or every other TV show.
No, exactly, right? But it is... So anyway, so we got that out up here in Canada anyway, and it's true, and that was, I think, the biggest pop for me is when he called John.
Well, and who had been on the show showing up and his face had been around, you know, during the Mark Henry segment earlier.
That's
in the
right,
night.
And Mark Henry said, well, you can do fire me,
yeah,
you know, so make me, you know, we'll get to that. But to finish up with what Punk actually said then, his last bit was, you know, I always think that maybe the WWF would be better if when Vince McMahon is dead. But then I realized that when he dies, it's going to be his idiot daughter-in-law, or idiot daughter and doofus son-in-law, and the rest of his stupid family.
And then the mic gets cut.
And then he says, well, you know what, you want to hear a personal story about Vince McMahon. He said, I have a personal story about Vince McMahon. You know this anti-bullying campaign they've got? And then the mic goes out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which is too bad, because I remember you texting me going, you want to do it on the text? Because you're texting me now. You want to?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, okay.
Okay, he's doing it, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but I remember you texting me going, I won't spoil the ending for you. And I'm like, I got to see this. And
yes.
Yeah, you're right. I was like, as soon as he said, I tell a personal story and the bullying, I was... I mean, I was already on the edge of my seat. I literally found a way to lean even further without falling off.
Yeah.
Like, I was just so into that there. And then
people in the Western Hemisphere know that because there was no earthquake.
Yes.
So, the thing is with this is
Fuck you.
Really, the main reason that I said I won't spoil the ending for you is because I was sick of texting. Because it was just so much to say.
Well, because you do it on a full keyboard from your computer instead of using your phone.
I had to get up. I had to walk over there. You know, it's a lot of work. But the thing is, so the Punk promo, I think it's universally agreed that that was fucking great. That's the best thing that there's been.
That's the best thing since for me, that's I'm trying to think of a better thing. It's so long.
Well, I mean,
I would put that ahead of Sean and Brett in the ring. Like, that's how good it was to me.
Do you put it in? See, the thing is for, I was talking for at least for the year.
For the year.
You know, it's just ahead of The Rock's return.
It is. The Rock's return was a big moment, but it wasn't like. No. The Rock's return that night didn't draw necessarily money for me, except for the fact, okay, I guess he was going to host Mania. But there was no, you know, he did talk a little bit of Cena.
It drew money.
Mania. I said for me.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm just talking. But it did draw money because
and it was a great promo, but as far as, I mean, it was The Rock being The Rock. It wasn't anything new. It's just that we had missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this was something new. And well, I think that's what's so cool about it.
And I think we're going to be sitting back when we talk, you know, in December about when we do something, you know, a year-in-review type situation. You know, we'll definitely be talking about this, but
I have to say this. I probably was equally as engaged by Nexus tearing up the arena that night happened. They debuted.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. That's where I was going with this, is that we're going to be looking back at this in December, and is this going to be are we going to look at it like this was Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass, or is this Nexus tearing down the ring?
Probably Nexus tearing down the ring.
Well, that's what this that time will tell. By that is how do they follow up with this? Nexus was done. By Nexus destroyed the ring about this time last year, and then Nexus was done entering 2011. Like, Nexus, I mean, it's around, but it's not, you know what I mean?
No, exactly. I mean, even tell you the truth, really, it died at the way they did at SummerSlam. When they made a booking error in SummerSlam and that kind of
thing. They did Frieder fired, and it kind of got a little bit going.
It wasn't Nexus anymore. It was Wade Barrett.
Well, yes, but it was killed dead when Wade Barrett left and Punk took over, and it was done, right?
So, which is too bad, because we at first had talked about how much we liked that. It's like, okay, that could be, and there was so much they could have done, and they teased the faction, the core, and Nexus. They teased a lot of stuff, but when you say we're going to look back, is it going to be Nexus? Is it going to be Austin 316? Obviously, in the era of Austin 316, one of the things was that there was the freedom for the guys to go out there and create in the moment because they were hungry and they were losing in the ratings, mm-hmm. and the performers were hungry and felt they had been kept down. Well, now you have performers who feel they've been kept down, and it's pretty obvious from this and from the spoilers the next night that they are self-aware of everything they've done to fuck up their own product. That's very interesting to me. They are self-aware of it, but that doesn't mean they're willing to embrace it or change it.
No, and that's where time will tell. I don't know yet, and maybe we might even be known by say SummerSlam as to how this goes, how this plays out.
Well, I mean, is he leaving or not? I mean, basically, when you say all this, I mean, if he goes for a year. If he does go for a year, you know, in June 17th, I guess it is, or July 17th.
July 17th, yeah.
If he does go for a year, July 17th or several months, then it isn't Austin 316.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Some of this is up to them, but some of this is up to Punk.
This, again, is a great first start, a great first step, a great launching pad, if you
and,
will.
And historically, they've had a lot of great launching pads.
Mm-hmm.
But they have not been able to, since the Attitude Era, take off with
again, it. Again, Nexus destroying the ring was fucking awesome.
Well, NWO was a great launching pad, but they didn't know how to fully take advantage of it for long term, right? Back in WCW days. Like, this isn't a new phenomenon. I mean, they just...
Wow, but the NWO got... you got some legs when you talk about long term. They didn't know how to.
Well,
end it.
Maybe
they
were. It wasn't pretty long before you had fucking Virgil joining it and
Scott Norton and Crush. And, you know, like, but that was like a separate animal. That was an ego. There was nobody in control. That was the inmates running the asylum. There were a lot of.
This
problems.
Is ego too, because this is Vince McMahon.
Yeah, but it's one ego, right? It's
just one ego.
This will go how Vince takes it. Right, Vince has final say in terms of, you talk about creative control being, you know, flopped around all the stuff. So I don't want to get into NWO too much. NWO, I'm not putting NWO. I would put closer to Austin 3:16 than I do to Nexus.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yes,
maybe.
Because it was a win.
It was a win. It was a win. But all I'm saying is
they didn't know how to end it.
No, they didn't know how to end it. They didn't know how to end it.
Completely different story.
Same thing with Goldberg, right? I mean, that was a launching pad for a year. That was hot as hell, and then they fucked it up.
And they did it, but they didn't know.
So I mean, when we talk about, I'm just saying it's not a new phenomenon for them to have a great first start or a great first few months or whatever. I mean, Vince Russo, every time he's ever written a new TV show,
I was about to say the Millionaires Club against the New Blood was a great episode of Nitro,
yeah,
right. But then, you know, Russo's the fucking champion, and people are, you know, red.
And he never drops the belt
out of the ring, right? I mean, shit like that. So that happens, and again, that happened in the fall. So you look at shit. But I mean, you had Judy Bagwell on
the
pole.
By the way,
oh yeah. Well, we can call Samoa Joe later on that and tell him, ask him what he thinks with Destination X. But when we talk about it's again a great chapter. I'm interested in where they're going. I understand on their on the spoiler, and it's a, you know, in the U.S. it's going to be 4th of July, so it's going to take a ratings hit. So that rating is going to be very, how much of a hit they take is really going to be interesting to me. How many people maybe PVR this this show and watch it, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, just because they don't want to miss the fallout, but they can't do anything on the 4th of July.
Well, this was not a highly rated episode, wasn't it? A 3.1.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure what the overrun with Punk did. I think it was like a 3.4 or something like that, if I recall. I mean, it's more the internet buzz and people talking about it. If it does generate any of the
Jim Rohn talked about it.
Yeah, Jim Rohn talked about it. So it's some water cooler
stuff. He thought
it
was real, but he's a moron. So,
he's not a moron.
He's a moron.
No, just doesn't. He's just not hooked into that world. He's probably the second best radio personality behind Howard Stern I've ever heard.
Ooh.
But Howard Stern?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Who do you ever beat? Yeah, anyway, Jim Rome.
Everybody. He beat everybody, douchebag. Anyways.
Anyway, Jim Rome's a moron. Let's continue.
Well, he's not a moron.
He is.
What about when he interviews Chael Sonnen? Anyways, we're getting off topic here.
We are.
I mean, it was it definitely has created buzz, so we'll see. I mean, the spoilers are out there. So, I mean, you have not only the fact that it's 4th of July, but you have the spoilers being out there. And if there ever was a time, like, I don't generally believe people go and read spoilers and don't watch a show, but if ever there was a time where people will read the spoilers because it's far more convenient and because they're so damn interested in what's coming up, it probably would be for this angle. So.
Yeah, but will that matter? I don't think it will. I mean, when you talk about spoilers, I mean, people knew... people read spoilers and knew that Mick Foley was winning his first title. Hell, Tony Schiavone told people.
It's a different situation.
Well, no, but it is a different situation because the product was hot then. But I think that people.
No, it's
will
a different
read...
situation because it wasn't a 4th of July where people had other.
Well, that's right.
To
but
do.
And it's also a different situation because
to me,
of
I
what
don't
I
really
mentioned.
Care. But what I'm saying is that the 4th of July rating, you can't just say they're going to get a bump or they're going to lose ratings or whatever. I don't think that's what matters. What matters is that a pay per view that likely was going to do 60,000 buys now looking maybe 80. Okay, fine. Is now looking in the 150 plus range to me.
Right.
That's where I think we can take this.
And I agree with that, but my, as I said, where time will tell is did they get 150,000 buys for this show and go back to 60? Or does it build?
But that's not just on Punk. You know what? Frankly,
it is on Punk.
No, it isn't. No. Let me finish my fucking sentence, no. and this will make sense.
Really?
That's not just on Punk as far as whether or not they're going to go back to 60. Whether or not this pay-per-view hitting a bump is on Punk because of his great performance. But what I'm saying, though, is if there is a general company, like I say, if they're actually willing to accept an awareness of some of the things that they've done wrong, if the fact that that John Cena is coming out the next night and talking about how they're taking away signs from audience members. Talks about Zack Ryder and how they're fucking him over. Talks about if Mark Henry's is frustration, it seems like it's also coming from a real place.
Yes.
If there's a company change in booking philosophy and something that's interesting going forward and is fresh, then that is what's going to lead to whether or not they go to 60 to 150. Now, if Punk is there, and then it maybe go from 150 to 180 because he's that great. But as far as the company building momentum on it, it is largely about what they do with this, not just with Punk, but what they do with the rest of the roster.
I agree with that. What I'm saying, though, is that when I say, will this do, it's just a matter of they've got something here. And whether they had planned on this is going to be the real test to me, is do they do what they always do and go back to the superstar Billy Graham, Bob Backlund philosophy of, well, we didn't plan it and we've got other things that we were going to do, or do they then shift on the fly? Right.
Well, there's so much. I mean, I was listening to the Formerly Creative podcast. They did two podcasts on this subject, and it was fantastic. And it's Dave Lagana
They did. They did a great one. Dave Lagana, he did a great podcast talking about the Punk one, and he did another one with John Permarini.
Tell quickly. Just share the Tatanka. Share the Tatanka.
Oh, story. God. Someone said that Tatanka walked up. I think it was to Court Bauer, maybe.
This is like 2004.
2004 when Tatanka turned – when he returned and he turned heel. For a short-lived deal. This is when they had Tatanka and they had Road Warrior Animal as well as a single, for fuck's sakes, and on SmackDown. And Tatanka walked up to, I believe it was Court Bauer, with a floppy disk of ideas. Right? I've got some ideas, and I put them here on floppy disk. And they were talking about, like, not even, like, the little tiny hard disk deal. But you're talking about, like, the big-ass, like, old-school...
Like a DOS!
Put it in your Commodore 64 floppy disk.
Fucking amazing.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Okay, anyways, but anyways, they were talking about this, and they were even... I mean, these are people who were on the inside and worked with the company and had fairly high positions, some of them, such as Lagana. And they could not figure out how much of this was pre-approved going into it. They figured that there was probably some idea, but nobody knew exactly where Punk was going to go or he, you know. Like, it was very, very difficult to... And that's part of the intrigue, though. I mean, I tell you the truth, I don't really want to know. You know.
Oh, I don't care. Because it was done. So who cares? Who cares how much was approved, how much was pre-approved? The fact is what will happen is we'll get our answer based on, again, CM Punk suspended, quote-unquote, right after Raw. Then they have the SmackDown, or the spoiler, rather. They tape the next show, and he's reinstated because of a great Cena Vince McMahon interactive promo. At least it's been said it was great. I haven't seen it yet, but... we will see it and we'll talk about it. But he comes in with Vince, threatens to give up the title if he doesn't get Punk, defends Punk's right to say what he said. Maybe doesn't agree with him, but it will defend his right to say that whole USA. And then the match is back on, but Punk not on that show. So he's not on the July 4th. Show, so then we're going to be...
And he hasn't Twittered either.
He's been silent. He's been silent, which I think is part of the deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
So now he's going to be probably on...
Because he's probably the most entertaining Twitter on the roster, arguably. Goldust is up there. I mean,
Goldust hasn't tweeted in a long time either. But Yoshitatsu.
Hacksaw Jim Juggins. Yoshitatsu. Is he on the roster or not? Because Hacksaw's great on Twitter.
Oh, Hacksaw is great, whether he's on the roster or not. But anyway, then you're going to have the go-home will be July 11th.
Yeah.
Right? Is he there? I think Lagana even said this. He said, all he has to do is tweet once saying, I'm on my way to Raw.
Yeah.
You know, and boom, there you go. Then you know, you get the one saying. So the next time Punk speaks, if he gets to speak, again, we're assuming that they get to do this, then, and depending on what he gets to say, that's going to sort of answer some of the questions as to how much was approved or how much does he get to say, or do they censor him, do they edit him, do they say, well, you know, maybe tone it back a bit, who knows, right?
Who knows?
But what I look at is the tremendous opportunity that they have right now is to plug in to modern society, which is something that Vince has not been able to do since the Attitude Era.
Oh, Vince is likely to get Rick rolled, you know, I mean.
That's right. But, well, since the Attitude Era, though, I mean, the Attitude Era was a reflection of late 90s society, mid and late 90s society, right, with your South Parks and your M&Ms and your Attitude and your Howard Sterns and all that shit, uh-huh. Right? So that, they took advantage of that, and they were able to plug into that, right, and be popular in pop culture. What I'm noticing now is with Mark Henry and with the CM Punk is that they have an opportunity to be very real.
Yes.
And, you know, my UFC hat that I have, you know, says as real as it gets. And, you know, when UFC is, you know, took off and was popular. And it's a matter of, you know, talk about an Attitude Era. And I don't want to call it the reality era because it's wrestling and there'll never really be reality with it. But if you can pull that back and be more real with things, and you know, and get there, then I think you have an opportunity to tap in to pop culture again and ride that that wave. Now, I think that that's going to take, you know, it's not going to be, you know, an overnight phenomenon, obviously.
Well, it's like you talk about how Vince McMahon was able to tap into that South Park and the Howard Stern and all that stuff in the late 90s. Remember that he needed to have a Hunter Hearst Helmsley at the time and a Shawn Michaels come to him and tell him, you know, you're in your 50s or whatever, and where?
And why are you trying to tell someone in their 30s what's cool, right?
What's cool, yeah. Exactly. And if he's open to that again, because he did listen to them at the time, and he did figure out what was cool because he was watching them and they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote it, but he still thinks that's what's cool. Like, he doesn't follow the trends to change.
Well, no, he's so working.
He is, like, 26 hours a day. Yeah. But, you know, if somebody has come up to him and said, again, this has changed. But it is, though, I mean, we talk about it as real as it gets. We've talked about it before, about how the perception of what a tough guy is has changed. And that has not changed in his eyes. That has not changed in John Laurinaitis's eyes.
Who?
Johnny Ass?
Oh, yes.
Yes. They can't look at. They can no longer look at a guy like CM Punk and go, he can't beat anybody up, because that is part of what. I mean, that's part of the things that's held him back. I mean, let's break into this a little bit. Let's talk about some of his grievances as he's had since he's been there, and the legitimacy of it. You know, he has been when he. I mean, he was a Paul Heyman guy. He was people in the backstage, Hunter and Sean, were walking around calling him King of the Indies in a disparaging way.
Mm-hmm.
He would dress, in a style that was popular. That
Taker
was
gave him shit for not
exactly,
dressing
for
like a champion.
Not dressing like a champion when he had the belt,
mm-hmm.
Even though he was dressed in what would have been considered, fashionable at the time. But that was not, you know, what they were looking for. And he said to Taker, well, what about
Cena?
He gets to wear whatever he wants, and you know, that got him heat. He has been in trouble for with Tony Atlas, because basically he's...
Oh, yeah, Tony, you know,
Tony Atlas.
Talking
I mean,
about
seriously,
taping his wrists or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tony Atlas made fun of him for doing this, and, you know, and he's...
I think that was in Ohio Valley.
It was in Ohio Valley. It was after he was on the roster, but it was in Ohio Valley.
It was
after he was on the roster. But it was in Ohio Valley, and, you know, I mean, basically, he's like, why is this guy telling me about drawing money? And no offense to Tony Atlas, but he was a mid-card.
Well,
you know,
he regionally drew some. I mean,
I
know what you mean. He wasn't to top.
This was after CM Punk. I believe he had actually had the championship at Liberty. Not only was it not in Ohio Valley, I believe he'd already been world champion at that time. and that was his beef. He is constantly butting heads with people, but it's because he doesn't play the games. He's not full of shit. He's sick of the politics. Mm-hmm. And part of what was, I think, during the Attitude Era, what was a boon to the locker room for the WWE was that there was constantly being said that there was a lack of politics there compared to WCW. And that has obviously flipped. And it's not just CM Punk. It is your Colt Cabanas. You listen to these guys on Formerly Creative on I Want Wrestling with Dave Lagana, and all these guys, none of them have anything good to say about, Steph. They don't say good things about Stephanie. They don't say good things about Vince. They don't say good things about Kevin Dunn, about Brian Giewirth, about...
nobody does.
Well, no, but, they don't...
Are you getting a cut off this I Want Wrestling here?
No, I'm just saying that is interesting information, and it's very good. I definitely recommend it. These guys are... Nobody has anything good to say about the company when they leave. And that's not just the performers in the ring. That's also the people backstage. When we sit there and we're always talking about the writers and we're slamming them, they don't have good things to say about this company. They don't have something good to say about John Laurinaitis.
Who cares?
So, well, I care. Because to me, the fact that this company, everybody leaves it hating it, shows to me that an attitude change needs to occur if you want to be able to create a freedom so the people feel they can they can achieve their full potential.
Vince Russo left in 1999 just loving the company, didn't he? And then WWF was just such shit then.
Well, that was because he was working
at
hours.
And Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan, everybody leaves that, Bret Hart, everybody leaves that company hating it. No, I shouldn't say everybody, but the majority of people leave that company without good things to say. But guess what? Just as CM Punk's promo said, the machine will just keep spitting along. And you know what? Vince has had good times,
You're not really listening to what I'm saying.
I am. You're talking about how an attitudinal change needs to happen because people leave the company disgruntled. And while I agree that right now, currently, they need to be looking towards
culture. That's what I'm saying. You didn't hear what I said.
Yes.
I'm not talking about them leaving the company disgruntled. I'm talking about the fact that they're leaving this company disgruntled is because it shows that they don't have an opportunity to reach their full potential. That's why the attitudinal change needs to happen.
How do you know?
You're telling me CM Punk had an opportunity to reach his full potential, or you're telling me Loki had an opportunity to reach his full potential?
I'm not saying it's a black and white issue is what I'm saying. Who knows? Maybe Dave Lagana wrote the best he could. Right? Maybe.
Probably.
And maybe Chavo Guerrero reached his full potential.
Maybe.
Right? So maybe MVP couldn't have gone any further. We don't know.
I tell you this. I don't think Chavo Guerrero's best potential was feuding with Hornswoggle for 72 weeks.
No, I agree with that. But what I don't know that Chavo Guerrero feuding with Batista would have been good either.
No, so, I wouldn't say it would have been, but maybe if he had been able to go out there and actually use what he is good at, which is performing with somebody in the ring whose style he meshes with and have good matches and have a feud that counts, maybe that and consistently doing that, that is reaching his potential.
Oh, I can agree with you there, but I don't know that that if Chavo Guerrero reached his potential, I don't know that there's any more eyeballs on the product, I guess, is my saying. I'm not saying that it could hurt.
But there are many people whose eyeballs might be on the product. If Chavo Guerrero sitting here defending
Chavo as an
example. There's many more talented people than Chavo Guerrero who we can say this about.
Well, there is. But all I'm looking at is that, as I said, is that Vince has had, overall, without micromanaging the company here, because that's what Vince does. He's had good times and he's had bad times. I'm just saying that the attitude of people, feeling that, I'm not being used well enough or management is shit. Like, look at Kamala. And his pushing and pulling song.
Okay, but let's look at Kamala and his pushing and pulling. Kamala was there in 1992, 1993, in that era, and that's when he's complaining about his pushing and pulling and that song.
The companies, the
that's
companies,
when he's complaining about his pushing a point.
Well, you know, that's, you know what I mean. But that's where, that's when, guess what? Ratings were down, things were down, things were bad.
Right.
Things are bad now. Mm-hmm. If they were, if it was still the fucking Attitude Era, and they still were doing a 500,000 buys, then what I'm saying wouldn't hold any weight. But when you're sitting there and you've been trying to break through and things have been going to shit consistently for several years, and nobody has an opportunity, and they're leaving disgruntled because they're not getting the opportunity, or because they, or there is a bunch of douchebags there and the bullshit and the politics, then that's where this, that's what I'm talking about here.
All right, okay. Well, I just, then you didn't make your point very good. I'm just saying that, I'm just, all I'm saying is that, yeah, we all agree that, that things need to change, and hopefully, as I said, this, what CM Punk's promo did, again, was a lot like what The Rock's promo did, was give some hope. And it was the same thing that the Nexus did. Was
but it's
it
not
gave
just
some
the
hope.
Like I say, it's the little other like if it was just CM Punk, I wouldn't have any hope because I don't
it
have.
It would just
I,
be one thing. Yeah,
I don't have any trust in them. When it's CM Punk and there's a
and
few
Mark
other
Henry, right?
And yeah, Mark Henry, just a few other seeds being planted. You know, just a few other seeds being planted that this is that the opportunities there even are even in R-Truth. You
yeah,
know?
Well, you know, when I was, we could talk about R-Truth briefly here, because I think we've said about enough about CM Punk as you know, as been said.
I don't think so.
And
I think we could talk more about CM Punk.
Well, we could talk more about CM Punk, but I don't know that it hasn't been already said. When we're talking about R-Truth, though, he's, I mean, I watched him on Spin the Wheel, and he's, we talked about funny, draw no money. He's back to mid-card comedy guy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he's talking to himself. He's doing the I'm just crazy hearing voices in my head. He's black Damien Demento is what he is. And that's just too bad.
Or male Tara.
But
Victoria.
Hmm?
Or he's Victoria.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. But I like Damien Demento better because he was worse.
And his YouTube videos are insane.
They were, yeah. So what else did you want to say about CM Punk then?
I think there's been a lot of there's been a lot of speculation immediately after this because he dropped Brock Lesnar's name, because he drops Paul Heyman's name, because the Kings of Wrestling are contracts apparently are becoming available, that there's going to be some sort of faction that bringing in somebody else. Bret Hart's name is being dropped into there.
Well, Bret is definitely going to be. I mean, we know SmackDown here in Calgary, Raw in Edmonton in late August. So we do know that there's that, and Brett is, I guess, special reffing along the house shows as well, starting in a couple weeks, I think, probably after the pay-per-view. So it's a possibility there, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that would you think, or do you think that this is any hope that it is leading to some sort of faction, leading to a group of people who are incredibly upset with how they've been treated with the company, and they're rebelling, and that they could have learned the lessons from Nexus? Do you think that's where they're going, or is it just... I mean, it does seem to me that there is a more, like I say, than just CM Punk, that there's a feeling and a flow that is more than just him that this angle is going to include.
Well, we know from Dave Meltzer and Wrestling Observer that... Brock and Paul Heyman, if it's not a done deal, it's very, very close. It's as close as close enough for Dave to talk about it on a merchandise deal. So nothing,
I believe a DVD for Brock is probably what they would really want to get out
there.
I
would think so, some T-shirts and some merchandise. And then nothing, and then Heyman's book comes out in the fall. So so at least they're there. They're kind of, I don't want to say that they're in the family necessarily, but they're all, you know, partners are willing to come together for the sake of making some money here. So there is that. He's not persona non grata. He's not, I'll never work with that bastard again, Randy Savage, right? So
no, he's not Kevin Steen.
He's, who?
Never mind.
I see Kevin Steen. I think Kevin Sullivan was one, but anyway. So there is that. I tend to, as I said, right now, because we've been burned so many fucking times, I could go a million ways from Sunday with this. I mean, if it's me doing it, then I include the Kings of Wrestling, I include Bret Hart as their manager, I throw DH in there because Brett's there and he'll push for that.
Well, yeah, but who would you put in there? That's the question, is who would you put in this group? And how big should the group be? Who would you put in? Let's throw Heyman and Lesnar out. They can maybe make a one-shot deal, but they can't really be part of the group.
Right, exactly. No, I look at Brett as their the thing is with Brett too is I think Brett can kind of come and go, and Brett could just be a sympathetic ear to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they don't need a mouthpiece. They have CM Punk.
That's right.
You know, so when you look at that, I would put in the Kings of Wrestling. I wouldn't
put in the Kings of Wrestling, but
I would if you're gonna go. If you want to make this real, then I would go with the bringing them in. Maybe not right away. Maybe they're coming after. But DH,
I would use guys currently from the roster.
Okay, if I'm using guys currently on the roster, then I'm using DH Smith, Tyler Rex, Daniel Bryan, and I had another one that I lost, and I don't know. But anyway, I would use at least those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I mean,
what do you use?
I mean, you're talking about guys who are underappreciated or underpushed. You brought up some good ones there. Other guys that are vastly underappreciated and pushed include Yoshitatsu, include Primo Colon, include Zack Ryder.
Okay, yes, Zack Ryder. I don't know how I forgot about Zack Ryder, but I would definitely throw Zack Ryder in there.
Kurt Hawkins.
Who?
I'm trying to think of Tyson Kidd.
Well, Tyson Kidd looks like he's going a different way with a female.
It's on Superstars. Who gives a fuck?
Well, apparently the whole plan of that Superstars deal, though, is to bring him up to SmackDown with a female.
Yeah.
So, but who knows? I mean, but I don't...
But is that a better use for him than putting him in this group?
I don't know, but how big is the group going to be then?
Yeah. What's Colt Cabana's contract status, by the way?
I have no idea, but I would assume it would be such that he probably couldn't come in. And it did, but I mean, you look at that's why I talk about Kings of Wrestling. Maybe you bring them.
And
in.
Is Loki officially back with TNA, or is it just a one shot for Destination X?
I would assume it's a one shot for Destination X. But you're also talking about again guys on the roster, right?
Yeah.
I think that you'd use.
You could use a Husky Harris.
Yes, you would. I would. I would throw
Cassius. Brodus Clay?
Let's not get... as I said, you were talking about... I mean, you could. Yes. Yes, you could. I don't use all
Even
of them,
Even a Wade
though.
Barrett could be on there.
But I don't use all of them, though. That's the
no,
problem.
No, I'm just throwing out names.
And I would... Is this a Raw and SmackDown thing, or is this just a Raw thing?
It should be a company-wide thing. If it's going to actually increase pay-per-view buys, if it's going to really... you know, push the company forward and gain some momentum, it needs to be on both brands.
Okay.
Besides, the brands are fucking...
Well, I know that.
Numb.
I know that. It's just, I'm just saying that, you know, does Mark Henry... We talked about him.
Absolutely, Mark Henry.
Okay, so Mark Henry's the big muscle, right? I mean, yeah. And that's the other part is, I mean, quite fucking frankly when you're talking about... I mean, because the business, I mean, you're talking... Quite fucking frankly. You're talking about 60,000 buys for over the limit. So... And we talk about, you know, who is underutilized that could go in this group. Who's used properly that can't go in this group and will have a shorter show, right?
Yeah.
So, but you can't do that. You can't have a fucking NWO black and white, black and red, 30 fucking guy group, right?
It has to be guys who have the potential to actually look dangerous and possibly break out.
You need, like, five or six guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that's where you have Punk, you have
guys
Mark Henry.
Guys who, unlike Nexus, where many of them weren't ready, mm-hmm. guys who actually are ready, but
that's
haven't
right.
been getting the
exactly.
chance.
Exactly. So you have Punk, you have Mark Henry, you have D.H. Smith, you have Husky Harris, that's four.
Yep.
And then and Zack Ryder is five. And then...
Yoshitatsu.
I don't think Yoshitatsu. I think you need
He's
one.
Really good.
Yeah, I know, but you need one more, you know, like...
Tyler Rex?
No. Maybe Tyler Rex, because I'm looking, you've got Mark Henry and CM Punk, who I guess are your established guys, and then you have Zack Ryder, who's got the potential to break to the top, and then you've got... maybe DH and Tyler Rex. So, yeah, you know, that's...
You know what? But here's another problem.
Husky Harris, right?
Yeah, your Husky Harris, he's good for it. Daniel Bryan.
Do you put Daniel Bryan instead of Tyler Rex, I guess, then? Yes, right?
Yeah, probably. I probably do, because he's closer to being ready. But here's the other thing is, I don't think if they're a full heel group that this works, because I think that their point of view and some people who feel that they've been kept down by society will be able to understand
from,
it.
You're talking from personal experience, Mo?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm kept down for you on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I'm the man.
Yeah. and I'm going to beat the man pretty fucking soon.
Woo!
I do think that it would be a mistake to have them be a pure heel group.
Well, you know,
face.
I agree.
Just
as you say that, I think, you know, is everybody here to see WCW?
Yes.
Or is everybody here to see the NWO, right?
Yes.
I mean, whatever you call this group, whatever you do with this group, the T-shirt sales, just like Nexus, right?
Yeah.
The Nexus T-shirt sales were great.
Yeah.
Right? This deal, this group, this faction is going to have, again, assuming it's done, you know, properly or even, you know...
If this is what they're doing,
right?
Yeah.
If this is where they're going, whatever this group is called, their T-shirts are going to sell, and they are going to be cheered. I mean, and especially since...
So don't necessarily embrace it, but don't necessarily try it. Like, just let it happen organically.
Can I throw out... I'm spitballing here. I just came up with this idea right now. Can we, could you, or would you, or should you, when we're talking about this group, because he's defended his right to say it, do you turn Cena heel? And
this
throw
is
him
where
in?
I was just going to go, actually, and you fucking beat me to
there
it.
There you go. Well,
Seriously, this is just, I was just going to ask you, can you put Cena in this group? I was going to throw out a wild, crazy name.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he has not been kept down, but maybe if he believes that the WWE machine is run in a way that he finds personally offensive from the fact that they keep a guy like Zack Ryder down that's his buddy and he sees CM Punk's point and he agrees with the freedom of speech and with the fans and all this shit.
Yeah. Well, now
he joins it, then that doesn't necessarily, you know what? Then that's fine, because then Cena's already booed and cheered. And tell you the truth, I think a lot of people that boo him would finally have something in his character that they would gravitate to.
Well,
I don't think that necessarily makes the group a face group or a heel group, and I don't think you're necessarily turning him heel. I think you're just having him stand up for his beliefs still.
I'm going back, yes, and I'm going back to, because we just saw the best of Nitro and had a tremendous interview, which is at WeTalkWrestling.com with its host, Diamond Dallas Page, is that the... When you look at the NWO, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Wolf Pack, like, I mean, Nash and Hall were cool.
Yeah.
Right? And they were, you know, getting cheered and hey-os. But Hollywood Hulk Hogan
was
still the heel that people hated, right? So you could go that route still, and people could be booing Cena, but maybe this...
Punk and cheering Cena, or who knows.
Or whatever it be. Yeah, exactly, right? So there's not necessarily that need. But I think if you had Cena, Punk, Mark Henry, and then you throw in, like, Husky Harris and D.H. Smith as your undercard, and Bret Hart there.
And then you have then you have Dwayne sitting there in the background ready to come in for later in the year.
To be the hero.
You have then you have some real, I think, then you really got something.
And maybe, we talked about this, what happens if, we talked about as a spitball, if what happens if, you know, Cena or Rock get injured, what do we do? Well, even if they're not injured.
Actually, we never did, I don't think we ever actually hit that. That was a topic I have written down that we never got to.
Oh, okay. Well, either way. What happens there is now that we didn't talk about, you said, you know, and I lied when I said there was nothing else to talk about with CM Punk, is whose shirt was he wearing?
Stone Cold. Oh, fuck, yeah, when we're talking about Bret Hart, how are we missing that name?
Well, no, but even then...
But no, if you're talking about somebody else who could be a, you know, in the group who could be like a spokesman and take their side...
We're going the opposite way then.
Oh, yeah? You're thinking opposite? Way.
I'm thinking you have Cena versus Rock, and Cena's a heel in this group. You have Punk versus Austin.
That would rule.
Right?
That would be fantastic.
And you've got those two are your top WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
You know,
it really is. It really is. I mean, this has excited me, you know, in the product.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really funny. We're sitting here talking about all this great stuff and stuff that can draw money and create interest for fans,
mm-hmm.
and maybe bring back some of the fans they've lost, because a 3.1 is not a strong radius, not just the 60,000 buys, you know, for a pay-per-view. I mean, 3.1, no football that it's going up against is a weak rating. I mean, the company's not at its zenith. It still makes money because it is a machine.
Right.
But we sit there and talk about this. It's ironic that as we're spitballing all this out and getting excited,
don't you
CM
think?
Punk could be gone in 2 weeks.
Well, that's the other thing. So, you know, so we've gone through all this, and it may be for naught,
That's what we do. We talk wrestling.
We talk wrestling, and it was a promo that did get us excited, and look, we've talked about an hour almost on CM Punk.
And I am excited just that they're doing something good with the Mark Henry character. The character interests me. Mm-hmm. The matches may blow, but you know what? They don't have to. If he is properly used as just a powerhouse, angry son of a bitch who's scary and mm-hmm. has a lot of squash matches until somebody finally stands up to him, you know? I mean, that could be good too. So I mean, he's been poorly used for years.
Well, he has, and let's hope that continues. But, you know, and we'll get to
see. It's probably because his backstage persona really is in no way ever come out properly. So either they're trying to create a persona that is in no way like him. It is non-grata because they're trying to create a personality that is in no way like him. Or they're trying to capitalize on his current one but not letting him really be himself.
Right.
They've never really been able to grab what he has. So.
Now, and I will say watching SmackDown on Friday that
we haven't talked SmackDown at all. And people do wonder why we, on our Thursday show, weren't talking about this Punk thing. It's because we like to wait when we talk about stuff and kind of wait until the entire week's news comes in. If we do a midweek show, we clean up stuff, really, that we've missed from a long time ago. So we're sitting there, and I've got some emails and some tweets, and they're wondering, you know, why weren't you talking about this on your Thursday show? And it's just that. It's like SmackDown hadn't aired yet. We hadn't had a chance to see Impact because we were taping it while that was on. And it's like we want to sit there and kind of fully experience and ruminate on the week, and then we go back and we kind of, on our big Sunday show, hit stuff hard, so... Just in case, just for those of you wondering.
Okay.
Anyways.
Now, where was I?
I don't know.
I was talking about watching SmackDown.
Yes.
And on SmackDown, they had a great on the Raw rebound. They had a great CM Punk. It focused on the CM Punk promo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are going to be utilizing it. That was the other thing we wanted to wait and see, is how were they going to kind of utilize it, at least in the short term. And that's, they did do a great deal, and they talked about him grabbing the brass ring and had, past pictures of, you know, when he was ECW champion, when he did come into ECW.
Was that an old ring from, that's just spray painted gold? Brass ring?
I believe so. He got it on top of his fridge.
Yeah.
But I think that... So we kind of get... I get an idea of kind of where he's going or where they're going with it, and it's good. So that was at least comforting that they're following up, at least on SmackDown.
Okay, let's hit two other subjects. You know what? We had an interview we were going to do this week. I think we skip it.
I think we can hold off for now here. Yeah.
Yeah. I did want to get to two other topics.
Okay, but an interview I did want to get to is I wanted to ask.
That's two of them.
I did want to ask Joey Lawrence what he thought about the CM Punk promo. So I just want to get him on the line and. Just got him here. So, Joey, how did you feel about the CM Punk promo?
Whoa!
All right, perfect.
Oh, you know what? Thank you. He summed up my viewpoint too.
He did.
Okay, let's quickly go to the ROH email here. Let's do that because
okay. While I'm bringing up the ROH email, I just wanted to hit a very quick and serious topic and a good natured and a congratulations that Rowdy Roddy Piper tweeted just the other day that he beat cancer again.
Is that twice?
So that is now twice. Yes,
not twice. That's cool. That's, one more time and he'll have tied John Wayne.
that's right. But, you know, it's...
But who'd he ever beat?
But who did John Wayne ever beat? Rowdy Roddy Piper, one of the all-time greats, one of my favorites of all time. And we're just happy he's still with us. So.
Yeah.
And then he's beat cancer. That's, you know, that's tremendous. Congratulations. So,
actually, it's funny because recently when he was on WWE TV, I didn't realize he was going through that. That was just, what, 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago?
Oh, not even.
I don't think, and he looked better. He looked good. He looked in better shape.
Yeah, he did.
That was what was ironic, so.
Don't you think?
Don't you think?
But anyway, we had an email from a fellow named Jared. Well, I was tweeting back and forth with him because he sent me a message after last Sunday's show, just when we did our Ring of Honor review, just saying, you know, I don't agree with that at all. I was there live, and I thought this was, you know, one of the greatest things of all time sort of thing. So so I said, you know, okay, well, let's, you know, go back and forth. So we went back and forth anyway, and so he sent me an email.
Yeah, we asked if he wouldn't mind if we asked for a live report, essentially.
So we give a
viewpoint that's differing, because it's not that we didn't like the show, it's that we didn't think it was blow away. We liked the show, but we just saw some improvements and some great stuff and some improvements that could be made.
Well, the way I put it is we said it was good, we didn't say it was great.
Yeah.
And so this is just essentially just, you know, he was chatting with me on Twitter. He said, you know, he doesn't want to go by match, but he's a relapsed wrestling fan. The show reignited his interest and passion in wrestling. So, you know, so he's got, sometimes I think commentators on these products want them to be so good they can clearly visualize what they would like to see fall short. And so he has refreshed eyes, and he was there live. So he did say that the crowd was hot. He went back on his Roku and watched some of it and saw, you know, he did comment that, no, you wouldn't know that watching it on Go Fight Live.
Yeah, we talked about the crowd was poorly mic'd.
Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, hopefully Sinclair folks can help that, but there live it was rocking. So he did also comment that he used stellar dark match of Generation Me versus Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. So just the speed of the match overshadowed everything before the intermission.
Are Generation Me no longer in TNA?
They are, which is why this was a dark match.
Okay.
So, he said that was just the match. It was up to the intermission. It was the match of the night, essentially. So, his comment was that Colt Cabana was lacking a straight man. You know, with his early in-ring shtick, it's clear he needs a foil that really frustrates, and that just didn't come across, which I agree with as well. You know,
we say that didn't. It seemed a little overly worked and prepared, and it didn't quite click.
Well, and Colt, it didn't click exactly. Yeah. Colt didn't have the straight man, and I agree with that. He said the best chant was during the El Generico match, which was the going dos every time that they hit a two count. So he said, you know, the crowd loved to hate Daniels as well. So
yeah.
Steen, apparently, as we didn't see, Steen was spread his arms and was carried out and crowd surfed out, which we didn't see.
Okay.
And people went crazy.
That would have been cool, yeah.
Yeah. And so, of course, his thing was, you know, I got to tell you, the whole evening had simple storylines and without a TV product made it easy to follow. And that's very true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very true. So, he did agree with us on the Smart Mark fandom. It got annoying to him as well, all the anti-WWE and TNA stuff. You know, some of the fans talking about Cena during the main event, I didn't get that at all. Could care less about John Cena, but are you a wrestling fan or what? I mean, watch the match, cheer what you want, hiss at what you hate, but shut the fuck up about Cena.
Yeah,
basically
agree.
His thing during the match, and I agree there. So, and apparently it was $15.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, so he said three really strong matches that were worth $15 admission price. So he said, you know what killed the crowd? People actually yelling for it at the end was the tag match. People were actually yelling for it to end, the 40-minute tag match, elimination matches, that people were yelling for it just to end the match. He said, I'm sure, and I'm assuming this is sarcastic, I'm sure with Kevin Kelly's magical ability to sell a story, it was exhilarating on TV, but live it was garbage. Slow and boring. Forget this four-way shit and let these two teams go at it. His favorite chant was K.O.W. Kings chant. It was catchy. Also a lot of Haas and Benjamin. A lot of anti-Haas and Benjamin sentiment there, he said. So, but of course, love the main event. Crowd was so burned out from the boredom of the tag match, it took him a little while to get into it, but people went crazy for the sheer effort and athleticism. This match is why I'm back watching wrestling. The two guys absolutely going at it to win the championship belt. Feels good to even write that, the belt, the strap, the title. I like stories and angles and that stuff, but frankly, I could piss on a lot of what you have to sit through on Raw just to get some wrestling. everyone on the show gave a complete effort, which is true. Even the matches it didn't kill were good enough to keep me interested. So he really, really thought it was a good show, and he enjoyed the main event. So more than we did, but again, sometimes being there live gives
it's, you it's a different feel. You know, so. I mean, I'm sure live we would have walked away just blown out. And like I say, we enjoyed it, but we weren't blown out because we didn't have your mom with us.
That's right. That's right. To me, watching it on there, and maybe with the crowd being mic'd, it would have been a little bit better.
I would give it a 7.5 out of 10. Put it that way.
That's right. Yeah, it was not a.
But it sounds like live. I would have given it a 9.5.
I was not a Buddy Rose diet. You know, I wasn't blown away.
Yeah.
So, but we thank Jared very much for the email. He's a loyal listener, so we definitely thank him for the comments. And the nice part about this is, you know, the ability to disagree. I mean,
absolutely, and we'd love to hear from anybody. You can contact Addy at, again, it's Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com. I'm Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com. We got Wrestling at WeTalkPodcast.com. We got all sorts of ways. At Twitter, you get a hold of us. If you have, if you're at an event, if you have differing opinion, if you have a topic idea, guest idea, anything, we want more feedback. And thank you, everyone. For this week, we became the number one show, sports show, in all of Podomatic. There's about 400 sports shows on there, just professional sports, but sports overall.
Mm-hmm.
We're top 25 on Podomatic, which hosts about 12,000 excellent shows. And we're very, very proud, and it's only because you guys have given us an opportunity, and you seem to enjoy what we do, and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you all very much.
There is no us. Anyway. No, but we do thank everybody for listening, and we appreciate the feedback and continue to get any that we can.
We're still getting better at this. We've been at this just a little while.
Well, Mo is. But I'm already great.
Ain't I great? Let's hit the other really big topic that we're going to be talking about for a while here.
Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly is shit. Kelly Kelly is a slut.
I didn't know your mom's name was Kelly.
It was Kevin Kelly.
It was
she kind of looks like Kevin Kelly. But Randy Orton.
Randy
did an interview
Orton.
On KUPD Radio in Arizona because SmackDown
There's a link to it off
Phoenix.
Our Twitter for those who haven't heard it.
If you haven't
incredible.
Heard this, it's about 45 minutes, so it really doesn't even get warmed up yet. And it just... tremendous. It's Randy Orton just being Randy Orton.
Being the real Randy Orton. A Randy Orton I didn't even know existed. All of a sudden, at the end of this week, I'm sitting there, I'm texting Addy going, I'm not sure who my favorite wrestler is. Is it CM Punk or Randy Orton?
I would go for a beer with Randy Orton.
Yeah, absolutely.
I probably wouldn't go for a beer with CM Punk because he doesn't drink. But I... Randy Orton comes off, and I mean, some of the things, I mean...
CM Punk will have a beer.
The big news is that he apologized to Kevin, or to Kelly Kelly. Why do I keep saying Kevin Kelly?
You know what, this was the big news, but to tell you the truth, this was what got the most play. To me, it wasn't even close to the biggest fall.
Well, no, okay, that's right. That's what to say with the big news, I mean, that is what got the most play. So that's what I mean by that, but basically...
I don't suppose you have a breakdown, or can call up a breakdown, so we'll kind of run through it like we did the CM Punk thing somewhere on the highlights from it. Come on, just go to some webpage, no? Somebody's got to have something. I'll find
it. I would assume so, but that would mean that we were prepared, and that's not like us.
No,
so,
no, that's
but crazy. Randy already talked about Kelly, you know, sleeping with 10 guys on the roster or whatever, and of course the host had some fun with this, trying to guess what it is, and that's the part that he had to...
Dolph Ziggler was a correct guess, apparently.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler was apparently the great Kelly, an incorrect guess, but it really was something that he came across just very real.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he came in there, and Randy Orton, who we've always complained about lacking personality and seeming very, very, you know, he's monotone and that. He comes on. First thing he does about 55 seconds in, drop an F-bomb they had to
bleep it. Yes, yes. And then they're like, I can't say that.
Yeah, exactly. He starts off talking about how, you know, they talk about how he's too oily, right?
Yes, yes, he talks about the Brazilian
and
child.
Yeah, exactly. So he mentions that you know, he just goes in there, he's got a little oil on him, he starts sweating, and pretty soon he's pretty too damn oily, basically. You know, he said that the Great Khali's secret is to mix lipstick with the oil and put it on him. It gives him a little bit of a red tinge. And then they start asking him about, are the oilers oiling each other up? And he goes, no. He goes, there's a 10-year-old Brazilian boy that oils the wrestlers up. He said, but the good thing is when he slicks his hair back, he looks like a 7-year-old Brazilian boy oiling the wrestlers up. And showing a sense of humor I didn't know he had, making jokes about pedophilia. They talk about whether or not he's ever killed anybody. He's talking about Kelly being a slut. He's talking about how he's much better wrestler than John Cena, but Cena's a much better promo. He's a genuine, relaxed, normal dude.
Yeah.
You know?
So let's get to some of the stuff that he talked about. I mean, he had the jokes about the Brazilian boy and, you know, and whatnot, and that was...
I believe Mel Phillips helps supply them, or Patterson.
I don't know. But but anyway, it was... He talked about that, and you know, and so there was...
Have you found a highlight, or is that what you're saying? Are you still looking it up?
No, I mean, I listened to it. I don't know. I'm just going by memory here. So, I mean, he does, you know, he talked about his past drug use.
Yeah, was a big deal. He has a DVD coming out.
He's got a DVD coming out. He talks about his past drug use and how he actually stopped breathing and overdosed. This would have been about 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and
he's 31 now. He was 26 at the time, he said.
And his wife had to call 911.
Yeah,
and you know, and he said, you know, the DVD is really, you know, is really good. He kind of plugged it a little bit. You know, his wife cries in the DVD. Is you know, his parents. You know, it's a really emotional.
He said it's not just a fluff piece. It really is going into his issues he's had, and we have talked about his maturity issues. It's interesting because when we were off camera with DDP at the Calgary Entertainment Expo there a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, one of the things I really enjoy is how you put on the Diamond Cutter from a different variation of it every week. You were finding a different innovative offensive way to put the move on. I said, unlike Randy Orton, who only puts on, he has, you know, one way, maybe two or three ways, but they don't generally be as inventive. And he said, well, the kid's under a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. He said, Randy Orton's under a ton of pressure there, and he's not really allowed to do what he wants to do. He said, my only problem is that Randy doesn't give me credit for giving him the move. That he talks about John Laurinaitis and other people telling him to use the move.
Mm-hmm.
And that he said that he had called Randy Orton up and told him to use the move because he thinks Randy Orton is the best, or one of the best, or he said actually he thinks
he's the
very
best.
Best
wrestler.
He told
there
us he
today.
Thinks he's in the world today. And that they told him, you know, he called us to complain how in these shoot style promos he doesn't ever get any credit for calling him. And they said, well, Randy's a heel, and that's why he does it. Don't take too much into it. And now that he's a face, apparently he's still doing it.
And that's
where his issue was. And I said, well, Randy Orton's had some maturity issues over the years, and he said he certainly has.
Yeah.
And this is all coming from DDP, who would have been, I guess, backstage with Orton at this last Monday. I wish we could talk to him now.
Well, and then DDP, he went. He met up with Randy in L.A. at a show at Staples Center, he said, and you know, and sort of confronted him on it. And Randy didn't even really remember not giving Paige.
That's right. Paige is like, you don't remember me calling you, telling you to use it?
No, he didn't really, you know, remember that, which again leads me to believe that they're again, and then we hear about the drug
up at the time.
Well, exactly, right? So I mean, but that's...
we've always heard about him smoking pot backstage,
but now apparently he does.
Like he would be smoking it actually in the backstage area instead of in his room, mm-hmm. like in front of everybody, like the things like that, you know, a few years ago. But this sounds like it was obviously much more hardcore drug use, and his DVD all of a sudden, I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, well, definitely, right? So
yeah, which I never could have imagined.
Yeah, well, and then he talks about that. He talks about The Rock and the comments. The last time he really did an interview like the one he did here,
yes.
was right before WrestleMania when he talked about you know, The Rock and Cena and how Cena, he says, is a much better promo than The Rock.
Yeah, exactly.
And he didn't really go in. I mean, he said,
which we at the time made fun of him for.
Well, we did, I mean, because that, I mean,
because it's ridiculous.
It is, and I mean,
but his point is that The Rock needs a teleprompter and things written, and Cena goes off the cuff.
Cena is able to memorize.
Yeah, well, he says Cena goes off the cuff and can just and free flow.
Well,
and
if he writes also said, it on his cuff, that's fine.
Yeah, that's well, no, that's The Miz.
Oh, right.
Yeah, on his hand.
Yes. But anyway, he said that the Heat...
He's sticking up for his boy, his current guy in the Federation. Yeah, yeah. Excuse me.
Heat with The Rock. You know, what his story was in this interview then was that after he said that about Cena and Rock, that Rock actually called the office, called Johnny Ass, and had said, hey, Randy Orton is on the radio, and he's saying shit about me and Hunter.
Now, what he had talked about Hunter, because he talked about the Hunter and Undertaker match.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said was those guys may not be able to do the athletic moves they could do 10 years ago, but they know so much about storytelling that they'll have a great match. And guess what? That was fucking exactly dead on.
Yes. And so, but of course, so Rock calls and lumps in Hunter with him saying that Randy Orton's talking shit, you know, to make it seem like he's talking shit about both Rock and Hunter, because he knows that that, you know, if you say someone's talking shit about Hunter, well, you know, Johnny Ass is going to look into this.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and then he had to clear it up with Johnny Ass. He had to clear it up with Triple H himself.
Right. Yeah.
You know. What else did he talk about? He talked about how Santino's the funniest guy and how he misses driving with him.
Yeah, he said when he was on Raw that he used to ride with Santino.
How Ziggler's dating a porn star he met at a Britney Spears concert.
Well, that was with the hosts were.
Yeah, that's right. When they're talking about Kevin,
he's not dating
10 guys. Well, he's probably just fucking her. Right.
Well, the radio station hooked up like a date or something with them. That's all that was. And Orton didn't actually know about it too much. He was taking the host's word for it, kind of thing. So
yeah, okay.
But Orton did bring up and laughed about the fact that he had two different actresses playing his wife, and neither one was actually his wife.
Yeah, and he said it should have used his real wife. But you know, he also talked a little bit about his acting ability. About how he's about how difficult acting is.
Mm-hmm. Talked about how shitty Randy Couture was in the Scorpion King 2.
Yeah, yeah, and you know he talks about how he doesn't really make fun of The Rock for his acting, but yeah, it doesn't sound like he has a lot of respect for him either, which is, you know, interesting coming off that CM Punk promo as well.
That's right, yeah, that's right. So that is very interesting. Now, he also noted that, he talked that he misses Jericho as well.
Yeah, that's because, right.
And talked
because
about
Jericho,
how,
he said, yeah, would walk in and tell him, Vince, I'm going to do a fucking game show on ABC.
I don't want you to do a game show, Chris. Too fucking bad, I'm doing a game show.
Yeah, exactly, and how he loved that. Mm-hmm. They need more guys like that.
Well, the other thing that he talked about, too, is that that Jericho was a locker room leader, and now that Randy Orton himself has become a locker room leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Really out of necessity.
Which is interesting, again, that he's become a locker room leader. And here he is, meanwhile, dropping all these bombs and talking all this. It's real talk. And he's being a real genuine guy, like I say, a guy you would laugh with, a guy who's relaxed, a guy who seems like a cool dude. On the other hand, as a locker room leader, when you say that Kelly slept with 10 of the boys, that she's a method actor and like 10 of the boys have been method actors with her, you know, that's not – that's not really being a locker room leader. So, but you know what? He's just another thing that's very interesting was he said that he's going to be wrestling tonight, and they said, no, I'm sports entertaining because I can't call it a wrestler.
Yes,
because I'm not wrestling, even though that's sort of exactly what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And you
he
know,
did make fun of that. Yeah,
he made fun of that. So that and that seems to be an ongoing theme with a lot of the boys lately. There.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's, yeah, because, I mean...
But, I mean, so he had to apologize to Kelly Kelly, and...
Well, you talk about, yeah, that being a locker room leader and then having to apologize to Kelly Kelly, and again, there's sort of...
That is the... funny enough, I thought the Rock thing should be the biggest thing, or the drug use, but
speaking of Jericho, I think that name with Kelly Kelly came up.
Yeah, that's right. But, so, I mean, but no, they said that he's married at the Christian. They said he's married. They were throwing out Mick Foley. The hosts were trying to get anybody who might have nailed her, and who hasn't apparently.
Yes.
But okay, I'm going to say this
Kelly,
is what he
Kelly,
put on his tweet.
Kelly Kelly and Jericho.
Here's what he put on his Twitter about Kelly Kelly. Yesterday, I put my foot in my mouth, and I need to try to make it right. I owe Kelly Kay an apology. The fact that she has dated a few guys I work with doesn't make her a bad person. Person and is also none of mine or anybody else's business.
That's right.
Yesterday I got caught up in a live radio interview and brought Kelly's personal life into it. It was completely uncalled for. Kelly, I hope one day you can forgive me. I do, however, understand if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Please, everyone, trash me all you want, but drop this topic out of respect for Barb, which I guess is probably her real name.
Barbie Banks, I think is the... Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
She retweeted this apology, so it appears all is well in the WWE universe between the champions.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
So, I mean, just
get a special feeling
want.
In the cockles of my heart.
In the down there?
Down where? Maybe below the cockles. Maybe in the subcockle area. Maybe in the liver. Maybe in the kidneys.
In
maybe
liver
even
spots?
In the colon. We don't know.
We don't know.
No, I think that would have been about it. The only other thing of note that he really talked about was that he's had 6 concussions.
Yes.
And
yes.
The one that he got a couple weeks ago in Spain was really bad, and that the WWE management was concerned because
yeah,
he's had...
it's been 3 years since he had his last one.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
So, but this one's bad. And again, just they know so much more about it now that you know they are going to be a lot more cautious and
concerning.
Which
is interesting because that means 5 times previously he just went out and continued to work.
Well, remember that was he had a storyline, remember?
At
the Royal Rumble with him and Hunter after that we talked about last week, or just on Thursday, about his babyface previous babyface turn, and that was the culmination of his previous babyface turn.
Was that he was always acting woozy in the ring, and now he was trying to be. They wanted to portray him as a valiant babyface.
Yes,
who was fighting through this concussion,
and that was the concussions, and then they moved over to Batista, and I think Orton turned heel. And
didn't turn heel. What he did was he challenged the Undertaker, and it was a face versus face match that ended up becoming heel. He ended up becoming heel out, coming out of it.
Okay, that's what it was.
They thought they could continue to keep him face against Taker because they have been able to do that a few times, but they couldn't do that with Orton.
No,
thank God.
No, exactly. Well,
that was a fine match. He had a fine match with Taker.
You don't have to thank me. But so that was the Randy Orton interview. So. That was, that's it in a nutshell. Getting a lot of play. It was a great interview.
We want to go out. Is that it? Because I think we should go out with our special ongoing feature on the Hulkster.
Well, I think so. We're about an hour 20 here, so let's hit. Let us hit because we have to do this every show. It's our duty and right is we talk wrestling hosts to talk about the Hulk Hogan bullshit. Of the week.
Nice. I'm just going to make you keep on going and doing that and just to see. Okay, Hulk Hogan talks about how Hulk Hogan said that he joined WCW in early 1994. And within 6 months, they were the number one wrestling company in the world.
6 months.
Because 6 months from 1994 is 1996, apparently.
6 months from 1994 is actually May of 1996.
Yes.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? That
O-U-T,
is
folks.
That is a... Holy shit, that's a tremendous timeline right there, let me tell you.
That's Hulk Hogan bullshit.
All right, well, we will wrap up there then with the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Let's bounce.
Let's just go. So in the meantime, And in between time, I just like to say we talked about it's WeTalkWrestling.com, www.WeTalkWrestling.com.
And if it says We Talk Podcasts up front, don't worry. That's all part of the same network here, so don't worry
it's,
about that.
Well, you type in WeTalkWrestling.com, and it's going to bring you right to that www.WeTalkWrestling.com. That's got everything now. It's got our blogs. It's got our
We have a lot of new listeners. Like we said, we've exploded. We're the number one show on Podomatic. Go back into the archives to check out our interview with CEO Linda McMahon, our fake Linda McMahon. Check out some of our argument about the Taker and whether or not he should have lost the streak. Mm-hmm. Check out our Zack Ryder arguments. Some of that was great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Our original Samoa Joe interview. Our episode number 2, the interview with Ric Flair and Vince Russo, that's amazing. I think you guys will enjoy it if you go back and give some of this a shot.
And we're on iTunes, so if you want to get all the shows automatically every week, just subscribe to us on iTunes. But enough shameless self-promotion of us. I hope you guys enjoy the shows.
Yes, we're not DDP, but we did learn from him.
We did. We did. So
you see.
Anyway, yeah, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.